on the bottom of your screen, Jack, and you'll be able to see what under settings, what microphone and what speakers are set up. You may be able to select another one.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We could hear it.
Yeah, I know. It's my headset. Thank you. I was working on it. Thank you, Lori. Larry, why don't you go?
Okay. So for us, my only update is that we still are having struggles with our the agency we oversee, which is ASH. They still do not participate in our meetings. And I'm able to send an email, a list of our meeting minutes and a list of questions. They want us to vote on everything we're going to talk to them about or anything we're going to ask. So we have to carry a formal, it's very formalized, but we still have not convinced them to come back to the table after, how long has it been, Larry? 2 years?
It's been a couple of years. Yeah. 2 years.
We thought that they'd come back after they realized that I play by the rules, you know, we follow the rules. So, but that has not helped. So it's a little frustrating. A lot of my committee members have never met the administration. So this last meeting, and we're about to send out the request, we've asked Director Tobin to escalate it to him to see if we could get some assistance in getting them to participate in our meetings.
Let me ask.
Lori, mm-hmm. Lori, this is Dorothy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. You know, my daughter is in ASH on the SAGO unit. And I can only echo what you're saying. I mean, the communication is even worse than it was originally. And they are probably communicating far less. And my daughter is slipping further away. So I don't know if there's anything that I can help with pushing from the parent side. Tell me what that is, and I'll start doing it. You know, we're trying to get guardianship of my daughter right now. And I don't know if that will improve communication, but, you know, it's a mess.
I would say, and I can send you guys right now today, I'm testifying on an ASH bill to primarily go after a couple of things. One, we believe that an entity or a board like a hospital should not be composed of mostly employees. We think that's kind of inherent. You can't be unbiased. You know, you work for the person you're on the board with. So we think that that's odd, the governing board. Two, we want to get better surveillance system, which they themselves want, but we want audio because we have reports of allegations of taunting and prodding. And it's hard to justify and sustain whether that's going on or not. So I think it would help everyone if you had better surveillance and audio so you could see what's going on before the incident happens. And the third was we were trying to get the restriction removed to where we'd use the 116 beds that we all pay for the sickest people, regardless of where they live. Just like if you had a heart attack and went to the emergency room and my husband was there, he wouldn't say, now, where do you live? I'm sorry, we did enough from Scottsdale today. Yeah, try to go to Tucson. It just doesn't make sense. So what you can do if you're passionate, send an email to your legislators, send an email to the governor, call the governor. We don't understand why they would be opposed to making things better and more transparency and reporting. It used to be all of the reports were up on the website, so you could look at 2018, 2019, 2020, 2016. Now all of them have been removed, so you can't even find out what happened 2 years ago. It's ridiculous. This is a public agency, a public hospital.
Lori, remind us, what is the SB number on that?
SB 1716.
And what's happening with that? I testified on that a week ago in House. I think we all, that's where we can have some impact, is make sure that our representatives are aware and sign on as supporters. What's it looking like? This is in appropriations, isn't it, right now?
It's in appropriations. It was supposed to go on this morning. It's running late, so I think it'll go on this afternoon. And I think what you can do at this point is email your representatives, call the governor's office, email the governor's office.
How's it looking, do you think? I'm asking, what's your chance of passing appropriations?
I think it's been modified enough to hopefully pass. They removed the wording about the 55-bed limit from Maricopa, and they want to set up a committee to study it. But remember, you should have, as a psychiatrist, 50 to 60 beds per 100,000 people. We have 55 for almost 4.5, 4.6 million. So it's like 1%, 1 to 2%. And it's a hospital of last resort. It's a public hospital, so we really shouldn't be.
Who removed those beds? Just for those of you not in central Arizona, one out of seven of the state hospital beds is empty. It's not in Maricopa County is limited to 55 beds out of the hospital. And it's not that it's not that Maricopa will take beds that are going to be used by other counties. The bottom line is one out of seven beds remained empty for the last 2 years because of the cap. So we're sitting there. So who removed that, Lori, from?
I think that they were told that the governor was going to veto it because they think it's a Arnold v. Sarn lawsuit, and it really isn't. It was the stipulation agreement,
right,
and
okay.
You'd have to go back to court. So I think they're just. I think at what point I talk to the governor and say, "So what? 7 million? When we have 7 million, Christina, do you think that's enough to tip us to add another three beds?" I think it's a ludicrous discussion. And, laws are meant to be changed. They're going to have lawsuits if they don't do it because, people are getting killed on the streets. They're going to prison and jails. They're not getting treatment in the community for this small population that really does need that level of care.
So we ought to support that. And I don't think there's much else that we can do, Dorothy, for your committee on that. On the lack of responsiveness by Department of Health Services, is there?
I'm looking to Larry to see if Director Tobin wants to weigh in. You're on mute, Larry.
Sorry. In regards to talking to ASH leadership to attend your meetings?
I know you've done that, and I guess we're elevating it to the next step, which would be to your director to say you've been observing these meetings for the last 2 years and before you, Chris, and there still has been no movement, so maybe they can get movement.
Yeah, I'm in the process of doing that now with him. So we should connect here sometime in the near future to discuss the issue that you're having, to see if we can get any movement on that.
And Lori, it's Dorothy. I would just reinforce to you that audio on the surveillance tapes, in my view, is critical, because I could give you chapter and verse from my daughter's experience there, where the security camera said one thing, but if you had the audio, you would understand what was being done to my daughter. Truly, it's a little horrifying. No, it's very horrifying. I'm getting numb, I think. Oh, God.
I think that we have like, you know, I don't believe any organization, any CEO, CMO would want employees that are bad apples. I really don't. I think that they don't.
You would think.
I think that also the hospital, you know, we've been in COVID. No one's been going in there, but yet staff have been sneaking in phones and cameras to patients, and they're recording and uploading it to YouTube. And we've seen those videos. We've heard those audios. We've heard it on calls, and it's quite disturbing.
Wow.
If you have staff doing that, that should send a red flag.
Okay. Anything, since we started with you, anything else from Ash reports, updates?
Nope.
Dorothy, why don't you give us an update of what's going on with you, what your thoughts are from your committee?
Well, we're fortunate to have Chris Gonzalez on the meeting today. Thank you, Chris. And he's come up with a really, I think, interesting way for us to handle this. Again, you know, we really got to get the training wheels off, and we're still struggling with getting committee members who are comfortable with reading the dang reports and going in there and doing the hard work of it, you know. Not that there isn't the willingness to do it. It's just that for one reason or another, the system doesn't work, or they get kicked out or whatever. So we're still at that very beginning level in some cases. And yet some committee members are really becoming adept at it. And you'll see from Christopher's plan, perhaps we have a way with this huge geographical area to be more effective. That's our hope. We did lose two committee members, and we are actively recruiting, you know, in the northern area. And, you know, Larry and Frederica have been really fantastically supportive, which we appreciate. And of course, you guys, all the chairs have been, you know, brother and sister all the way. So we appreciate that. I wish I had more to say. I think you're going to hear great stuff from Christopher. But we're in there slugging, and I appreciate that you, Jack and Lori and others are on top of the legislation, because that's kind of, I don't want to say lost to us, but it's not in the front of our brain, because we're just not there. So knowing what we need to check in about, I appreciate that. SB 1716, I'll definitely send a message to the governor's office. Our representatives are, I don't know, they're recruiting for Space Force or something. So I don't know how much we'll be able to do with our representatives up here. But, you know, we keep trying to elect people who will help us. But we'll try. So all I can say is I appreciate knowing where to point the energy. And thank you for that. So, and thank you, Larry. Thanks for setting this up. I think these calls are critical, and I appreciate the support. And Chris will have more to say, I'm very sure. Thank you. Jack, you're muted again.
I am. I try and do that so I give feedback. Thank you for telling me. Chris, do you want to give some thoughts on what's going on?
Unmute, Chris.
Right. Hi, everybody. And thank you for the kind words, Dot. I appreciate it. But I'm not going to take credit all alone. We work as a team. Do you want me to just go into my agenda items? I'm not sure I have anything to add to what the current discussion is.
What we're going to do is let's go through each of the different committees and just report what you want. We can discuss then different issues. So just, you've got the floor.
Okay. So there's a few items. The site visit committee, we have been working as well as with the larger committee with some tools that can help the reviewers kind of organize reviewing the reports. They can become very cumbersome to review sometimes, you know, due to redactions. There is a cross-referencing that needs to occur between the IAD and the QOC reports. The QOC reports have ID case numbers, is where the IADs do not. So it gets very tricky and confusing having to flip back and forth between screens and other things, because from what I understand, we're not to download and print the reports, we're to view them in the portal, do our reviews. So it's a way to organize the information that you see so that you can cross-reference, because it becomes very difficult, like I said. So a lot of the cross-referencing between the IADs and the QOC, because of the redactions, we're left to cross-referencing times, the description of events, and the age and demographics of that individual. Because, of course, we don't have names and only one report has a case ID number. As well as that Excel spreadsheet, and I'll present that and show you. I just went into a PowerPoint and I put all of our R9s and the other applicable statutes that we want to guide us through our reviews, so that the reviewers have a one-stop shop. If we need to reference to one of the statutes or laws, that they have them at hand. And so I can present that too, if you'd like. And then if you're interested in having your site visit subcommittees use them, we're more than happy to share them with the other committee. It's something that we find helpful. So I think when I present, and I've just took a train this morning, thank you, Larry. hopefully I can do it right, but I'm not going to be able to see you, but I believe that you can see me.
Okay, let me, two things, if I may. I don't know where you were told you shouldn't download the reports. I download them routinely so I can read them. Then I relabel them with a different file name to remind me of what my concern is. So you are allowed to download them on your file.
Okay. What about printing?
You can print whatever you want. They're redacted. You know, as long as you don't let it go, run away and have copies made that get, you know. So you just have to treat it as if it's a hospital information. But again, we did request, I don't think you sent to us yet what exactly the definition of private materials is, and maybe you did. But we're trying to coordinate exactly and clarify exactly what personal identifiable information is, so that the redactions are consistent throughout the region and state. So we're getting a handle on that, because they tend to be a little inconsistent in different reports or different agencies.
Right.
But you can download and print. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just responsible, you know, for not getting the stuff on the streets and putting your garbage without tearing it up. That's my understanding.
Okay.
If Frederico or Larry have any thoughts on that. Yeah, no, Frederico, you did. You said it again. I think I remember you did do it. So what I'll do is, Frederico, maybe you could send it to the different chairs. Frederico's going to send what is personally identifiable information to all the chairs, and then we can look at that. And then you can target reports that are over-redacted, and hopefully that education will modify so that, you know, there's stuff that isn't redacted, that shouldn't be. Okay, that's just some feedback to you right there, Christopher.
Okay. Dr. Potts, I appreciate that. I think I carried that with me when I first signed on, and maybe I misunderstood the information, but I always err on the side of caution to just say no until I know that it's okay. So I will share that with the other site visit members as well.
And so as an aside, if I may, I do the opposite. I don't just say no. I say yes until, you know, I'd rather ask for forgiveness and permission.
Okay. Well, you're a little braver than I am.
Just older.
So, okay, that's awesome. So, you know, that will make it a little bit easier for the reviewers, because I know that sometimes we need some tangible amenities to work with while we're reviewing. However, with the redactions and cross-referencing, I really think that these tools will be helpful for people coming onto the committee, as well as a way to organize their thoughts and what they're looking for, and they've got things in order. So, like I said, I'll do a quick review of them and I'll share them with you. And then if they're helpful, and your committee, your teams can change it. It's not locked or anything if you find that you need to add things or remove things. So this is the spreadsheet for the auditing tool that we use. And is it okay in this platform? There's no personal identifying information from a member on this copy, but there is an actual provider, and I hit it at first, but is it okay to open this up for the meeting today?
There should be no reason not to.
Why would a provider be HIPAA? I mean,
it's not. I'm just checking to make sure. I don't want to violate anything. So, so this tab right here is a tab that we use for recommendations for site visit, a way to kind of organize who we want to visit and has their information. So the reason why I held this one as an example is because it helps us to see actually where we're going and who the provider is. So as far as I can understand from this provider, the provider is known as Sedona Sky Academy, but also known as Lake Montezuma RTC Incorporated. Here is the address. However, you know, it provides the reviewers whether they're closed. The address is different from what is listed on the Arizona Department of Health Services database, and Sky Academy website lists them in Rimrock, not actually in Lake Montezuma. So we found this to be helpful to help us route and organize and know what we can about the provider so that we can have a conducive visit. Because sometimes the information does get confusing. The next tab is a tab for the IAD for the reviewers. It's a way for them to kind of input the information and look at the different categories. So there's a case ID, the date of incident, the report, the concerns, member eligibility, it goes over the status, the provider name. I did put some drop-down boxes in some of these so that it's easier to just choose from. So it goes over the provider actions, the TREBA name, the TREBA's action, whether or not court order treatment, DDD, or the CMDP. Incident type, the IAD concern. So this is a way that our reviewers have found helpful to kind of lay out the landscape of what they're looking at. So for the IAD, we've got a tab for the quality of care, which is our resolution report, that we cross-reference to that IAD in what I was talking about earlier with the redactions, so that we can see if there was follow-up, you know, if there was a resolution report to it. So it goes over, again, some of the information, the date of the incident, date of report. Is the information between both reports accurate? And then here are some more drop-down boxes for the reviewer. I tried to hold, okay, that's where this page ends. So these two tabs are what we use to cross-reference the IAD and the QOC report. For the seclusion and restraint, There's also categories in here to help them lay out that landscape and what they're looking for. Some of these I left the drop-down boxes to show you as an example, you know, what type of seclusion and restraint. Did the seclusion and restraint happen simultaneously? Was it reauthorized? We also here, it does a calculation for the time and duration to ensure that we're looking at the seclusion and restraint times as documented in the reports. To document the face-to-face assessments that are supposed to occur either during or just post the seclusion and restraint reasons, so that we have our drop-down boxes for those as well. If it's an other, then there's room for explanations. And then the reviewer can record, I believe, at the end of each of these tabs, the event concerns. And then that way, when we go into our meeting, we've got everything organized and we're able to start looking at our recommendations. So this is the Excel spreadsheet and the tool that our reviewers have found helpful. Do you have any questions or comments, or do you want me to go just directly into the PowerPoint that has all of the statutes and guidance?
So Chris?
Yes.
I think it would be really helpful if you guys get them in Excel. My headset sounds terrible. Yeah, I may have to drop and come back in. Yeah, I'll drop and come back in.
Could somebody help me understand what she was saying, what Lori was saying?
I think her headset wasn't working. Is that right, John?
Yeah, but I don't know what question she had. Let me ask you, you say both reports. You're referring to the original IAD and then the QLC report when you said that they reconcile?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, it sounds like your committee members are very familiar with Excel.
Oh.
No, I am.
You are. Okay.
Good job, Chris.
I help any committees with that as well.
And then the third thing, so none of this can be auto-populated, can it?
I don't think so, unless they were tied to the portal where we could have, you know what I'm saying? I think we can export, I'm not sure if we can export the information out of the portals.
Okay, then the next, do you use the Excel at all? That they use, that CJ has put on and that they have at the portal? Do you use that Excel spreadsheet? Do you ever use it?
Apparently not, because I'm hearing crickets in my head about that.
Chris, this is CJ. A lot of what you have on there will download when you use the export function on the portal. And that is an Excel spreadsheet, and you can save it and sort it and crop it and cut it, so your team wouldn't have to transfer any of that information. It should all just fill in for you. We've updated that several times upon request from the various committees, and I didn't see anything on your sheets that we haven't added, but I didn't, you know, we didn't go through step by step and compare it, but I'm sure Frederica could help you kind of figure out if anything is missing and get it added. But the system should do all of that for you. We designed that so you could do your tracking and trending.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And CJ, if you shared it before, I apologize that I missed it. So I'll send this to you, Frederica. And thanks for bringing that up, Dr. Potts. And then CJ, you're recommending that Frederica could go and do a more detailed cross-reference?
Yeah, or you can. And on the ADOA website and the trainings that Larry has uploaded for you guys, the portal use training, will walk you through how to use the export. And then once you export it, it's just an Excel file that you can manipulate just like this for your team's needs. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll go in and give it a try first, and then that way I can help any of the other committee members.
Well, what CJ is saying is they have, you've reinvented the wheel. And they have a lot more data that can be, if you're familiar with Excel, that is already there. And it's on site, and you can then download it and play with it if you're familiar with Excel. So my sense is that may be a tool, because you can sort it by different sites, by members, et cetera, et cetera. So that data is available in Excel already. And I'm not, it looked very powerful when CJ showed to us during our training. So I don't know if Southern California uses that.
Hi, Dr. Also. Thank you all. I have to be honest, I've been quite confused by this presentation, because when we were trained months ago, you know, we used the tools that are available. Thank you, CA. And I was very confused, especially, I guess, about the site visit, because we just have a three, sometimes a five page form that we fill out. It has, so that confused me. Number, you know, that was the other thing, because generally we go to the portal just for seclusion restraint and accident incident, and use the tools taught to us by CJ. And like you say, it's very, very full. It has everything and more. And we're still struggling to get proficient on the what we have, but it's very, very good. But I didn't know there was an inclusion of site visits. Is that something, CJ, that I'm totally unaware of? Because we just fill out paperwork with all the questions, or we used to before the pandemic, you know, when we'd go out. Is that part of this? Is that on the portal, site visits?
No, Barbara. Christopher and the Northern team have been trying to organize how to conduct their site visits over such a vast geographical service area with their members and where they're located. So this is a tool they've created on their own to help organize their work across a very large region, similar to what you guys have done in the South. This isn't an access tool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And Christopher, again, that is lovely, but I don't know that our members are proficient in Excel either. And as I'm a novice at it myself, but it would be interesting to, I guess, to put something in like that. But we just do a very, very simple report to our committee after doing a site visit, which we hope to do in the near future, by the way, as we get our vaccines. But and again, it's just a questionnaire. I'd be happy to send that questionnaire. I just assumed everybody used something similar, or do you use your questionnaire and then add that information into the spreadsheet? My understanding is Christopher, that that's just to get oriented to where you're going. But the actual site visit information content isn't on that report that you've set up?
Well, if I can, so I'm not quite sure our site visit committee is familiar with the checklist. I know that initially, as our committee was getting set up and we want to hit the ground running, we wanted to meet with our providers and make a friendly connection with them, which we thought would help us with our relationships and doing site visits. So I'm not sure about a checklist, so I cannot speak to that. Sometimes I do miss things in the world, so I think I might have missed that one. And obviously, I like to reinvent the wheel, because as we're talking, I do remember now CJ talking about that, and I must have forgotten. But you know what? I'm going to chalk it up as some extra training for myself with Excel. So since it's there, awesome. I'm so sorry to have wasted any of your guys' time with that. So we will, look at using the one in the portal, which obviously is easier for the reviewer, so that we don't have to enter that data. I'd be interested to see the checklist. Well, I'm not sure if you've ever used one.
I'd be thrilled to send it to you. I'll make sure I send you. Please somehow someone help me with. Maybe Larry can send me your email contact, and I'd be happy.
Absolutely.
The email, as an aside, the email contact is on the agenda list.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, number one. Number two, no, you didn't waste our time, Christopher. What you did is sort of gave us a tool. We may be able to use something like that for site visits.
Exactly.
Number three, I'm suggesting that maybe on the next quarterly meeting, an agenda item be what we're looking for in site visits. Because, frankly, I'm not so OCD, whereas some of my peers are regarding having checklists, et cetera. So it might be kind of fun to say, hey, what are we looking for from each committee, including Ash? You know, what are we doing when we want to? So that might, does that make sense to have that as a discussion so we sort of agree or sort of sense some universality to our site visits?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll put that on the agenda for the next quarterly meeting because it's something we're going to get back into, I think. But we have an agenda item on that also.
And Christopher, just so you know, down here in Tucson, Melissa Brown, she is our contact with, used to be our REBA, but Melissa Brown is with, come on, somebody help me. She's with United Health Hospital, whatever.
Arizona Complete Health.
Oh, there.
Okay.
She's been with so many, I'm sorry. But anyway, so she provides me a list from the providers of the current, because we visit mostly the unlicensed homes. I'm referring just to site visits, of course, and mm-hmm. So the unlicensed ones. And she provides me a list, and I've requested one for late April, early May, maybe by then. Two of us will have vaccinations, and we have to see if they'll let us in, you know what I mean? Because we...
Right.
I won't go any further than that because we'll discuss it again. But yeah, that's where we get our information. But we have a different, different landscape down here. Thanks again, Christopher. I liked it. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. And I appreciate all the feedback and the questions so that we can, you know, sharpen our skills and what we're doing as well. You know, the only other thing that I had on my agenda or that, you know, our site visit subcommittee, as well as our larger committee, has been discussing is, you know, pandemic has changed, the landscape of our work and for the long run. So we may find that post-pandemic, the site visits may still have barriers depending on new rules and practices from our providers that we're working with. So, you know, our committee has been working on some recommendations to do electronics record reviews, much like the data validation audits, where they can be isolated from the other medical records with a temporary password for the reviewers. That way, because we may continue to find providers having certain rules or structures about on-site visits as we go forward. So we wanted to be versatile in our work and figure out a way that we can continue our work if we still have barriers with being on site. We've also talked about what it would be like for an electronic site visit. And I had sent those recommendations, and we felt that we needed to have them approved prior to us engaging in those electronic activities and site visits and records reviews, because they're not a part of the standard guidance and rules that we're looking at. So we did send those in for review from ADOA and Access. And I believe we're still waiting on any feedback or approvals or anything. So those are some of the other discussions that our site visits committees have had.
If I could just jump in.
Please do.
Yeah.
Christopher, thank you so much. We started, when we started a few years back, with the checklist. In fact, the site visit checklist that we first prepared for our new Northern Committee is in the manual. So, I mean, we do have all those tools, but the challenge became with COVID, how do we do our work? And Christopher came up with these solutions. And I guess in the meantime, there also was this portal. So it sounds to me like the two can certainly work together. What the spreadsheet helped us do, and again, we're the neophytes. What it helped us do was see patterns faster. And then, of course, we couldn't go out to the site. So this is all evolving. And we listen and watch and hopefully learn from you leaders that have been doing this longer. And we'll get our sea legs. But thank you, Christopher. Thanks for sharing that. And
You're welcome.
Keep learning.
So apparently we do have a checklist.
Okay, let me.
I'm not sure if I did a very good job today.
you actually did a lot of work on it, Christopher.
as facilitator here, let's do a couple of things. Number one, I think it's important that we talk about site visits at the next meeting, because we'll have some normalization, hopefully, of our of COVID, et cetera. And we'll be talking with ADOA and Access in a few minutes about this. And then we can look at criteria we're looking at. Number two, when you say you suggested some guidelines to see if Access and ADOA will approve them, one of the concerns I have is that I personally don't want to be a individual committee going to ask for statewide guidelines. And I think if we're looking at guidelines, that's the value of having this type of a group together to say, hey, you know, Northern Arizona, they want to have this type of approval to do this type of visit, but maybe it doesn't fit for Central or Southern Arizona. And maybe we ought to think about, before asking for permissions to do so as a statewide coordination, so that we cover everything. Doesn't that be done piecemeal? In some ways, I think that's a value of having us go through ADOA and Mr. Allen. So that's something to think about. And we did that very well when looking at our individual bylaws and our organizational structure issues. So I think just keep that in mind. Do you have any, and when the committee chairs have any thoughts on that? I think we should speak with one voice if possible when looking for permissions, et cetera, objections, rather than individualized.
This is Barbara from South. And again, I want to thank you, Dot, by the way, and of course, Dr. Potts, for being so generous with helping me put together the bylaws. And I just love that we're all similar on the same similar page. And I totally agree with you, Dr. Potts, that I like the idea of us getting together and helping each other the best we can. But again, structuring for our particular situation wherever we are. So thank you. I totally in agreement with you.
Since my voice wasn't on initially, I'd like to formally welcome the committee chairs. And I'm wondering, we have some public members, or actually have Access. We have some, like CJ is here, Frederica as usual here, Mr. Demian's here, Larry Allen's here. Who have I missed? And Lori, of course, is here as a chair. Have I missed anyone who is currently present who would like to announce themselves? Asim? I don't know Asim Dietrich.
I don't have any comments. I'm a staff attorney at the Arizona Center for Disability Law. So just listening in today.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else that we don't know? I appreciate it, Mr. Gonzalez. Okay, let's go back to, we've had an update from, let's have one from Southern Arizona, a chair update.
Yes, sure. Hello, everyone. Barbara Carling, Vice Chair. Yes, we, like the rest, are. It's been an interesting year. We've just been, peddling in the water and no site visits. I'm proud. I have two members that have gotten active on the portal, and they're doing reviews of both accident incident and a seclusion restraint. We're just getting up to speed. And again, it's so thankful to CJ and the support of Frederica keeping us on task and in the right direction, because again, there's a learning curve, but we're coming along nicely. On our last meeting last week, we had between 50 and 70, I believe, that had been looked at. So I'm real excited about that. We had 9 members. We recently lost one due to a personal incident at home. But we have 2 new members coming up. So hopefully they'll bring us back up to 10 members. Always looking for more. We've got a nice diverse membership. But anyway, everybody's still very much engaged, just kind of waiting. Most of our people work out in the community. We do have Sergeant Winsky, Jason Winsky, and he checks in with us and gives us really good reports on all the police news. And I think that's about it. I can't think of much more. Just waiting with the rest of you, just hopeful that we can get vaccinated and get out there and do some on the ground work and maybe even see each other again in person. That's about it. Any questions? Comments?
No, thank you.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah, and sending the agendas out to the committee chairs is always important, I think, so we can disseminate them or to as many members as you wish. You should have a list of all our committee members. Does Access have a COVID update for us?
We do. We put together a presentation. We had an agenda item that we received to discuss some of the COVID vaccine efforts that Access has going on. But actually, we've been going out of order a little bit. But I wanted to check and see if CJ would want to go first, because I think that that her item might be a little bit more pressing, and want to make sure she has time to discuss it. Before we hit the end of the hour here, I can always come back and do my update or have Larry send it out as well. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to CJ to see if she wants to go ahead and take it.
Go for it, CJ.
Sure. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Dr. Potts. So I recently had the opportunity to take a peek at all of your guys' bylaws. Good job. I'm super excited to see the cohesiveness on all of those documents. And Jack, I know that you and several other committees have always asked that if Access is going to propose any policy changes that might affect you guys, that we bring that to you first. So that's why we wanted to jump on this agenda. I think I'm getting a little feedback, Dot, from your microphone. So I apologize if I'm not able to be heard very well. So our Access has AMPM 960. It's our quality of care concern overreaching policy. It also has the section that mandates how and when our contractors release incident, accident, death reports and seclusion and restraints to you folks. One thing that I noted when I was looking through our policies and comparing them to your bylaws is our language is a little bit plain when it comes to what reports need to come out and make sure that you guys get those. And so I noted that each of you were specific and you wanted reports related to the SMI population, children, of course, and this court-ordered evaluation and court-ordered treatment folks. I wanted to propose that we put that language into the policy to make it a little more clear. And right now, I can just present my screen for y'all of the actual language. You can see it's there. It's just broad. And I'll give it a minute to load. Someone can let me know when they're able to see the policy here. We're looking at Ampium 960.
You're good to go.
Okay, great. This is Section D, and it's talking about Access Independent Oversight Committee reporting for any incident that involves a behavioral health provider and sending that over to you guys through our QM portal. You could see here, we note, you know, that any incident that is related to a QOC or anything, all that documentation has to be put together and submitted to you guys. We gave them a timeline, but I don't have any specific language to the populations. And I super want to make sure that the folks that are under the Title 36 process, the court ordered evaluation orders and the court ordered treatment orders are highlighted for our health plans to make sure that those are all coming to you. As you know, Dr. Potts, Dot, and Barb, and Chris, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the process. Access is we are an MCO state, meaning we pass most of our responsibilities to a managed care organization, and then we audit that. So we look at a percentage of what they give you and not all of it. And I want to make sure that they're very clear that you guys are getting everything that you're required to get per statute. So just wanted to kind of run that by you. My thought is I would add it here in Section A, where we're talking about all of these reports, not limited to abuse, neglect, denial of rights, involving a behavioral health provider. And then I want to add your specific language, pull right out of your bylaws for the SMI children, court ordered evaluation and court ordered treatment recipients in the state. If that sounds like it would meet your expectations and be, you know, in line with your bylaws.
I am overwhelmed by your proactive role in that. I shouldn't be surprised, CJ. I think part of the reason the COE and COT is an issue is because it's listed now, I believe, that is a field on the IAD reports if they're on COT. COE isn't, but if they're on COT. And also, obviously, if they're SMI or GMH, that's also a field on those reports. So I think it makes sense to do this. I don't know. Do you think it's necessary? I'd like to hear from other peers on that. Thoughts, Dorothy, Barbara, Lori?
I'm still digesting. No comment. This is Barbara.
All right, so maybe I can just add a little bit more there. So one, thanks, Jack. I am trying to be proactive, and it is, you know, you guys have requested several times, you know, that if we're going to amend a policy that affects your committees, that we wanted to bring that to you before you just see it in public comment with everybody else. Second, want to make sure that what you guys have highlighted in your bylaws is very clear in our policies, because I think it's important, especially for our provider networks, but also for our plans, to understand that we work together, that the IOCs are partners to the state agencies in providing oversight for our vulnerable members. And I want to make sure that the language they see in your bylaws is matches the language they see in our policies, and that we are expecting the same thing. The other thing I want to talk about is, like you said, Jack, the fields on those reports. Currently, those fields are provider selected, and they're not always selected accurately, depending on how much a person knows who's filling out that report. And I know that's a huge frustration for you guys when you're reviewing. So I am also looking at programming some new business rules into the system itself to auto select things like, are they SMI? Are they general mental health? Court ordered treatment and court ordered evaluation is a little bit different. We are working on a formula that we can put a flag and work with our partners in the justice system so that we have that information and the providers don't need to provide it every time they put in a report. So we could auto populate that, but that one's probably down the road with some data sharing agreements and things that we're working on. But again, the purpose of me today coming here, I'm fine. We can leave the language exactly as it is, and it won't really matter. But I do want to present, especially the community providers and then our community participants too. They look at our policies. They look at your bylaws. They look to us for protection. And I want to make sure that we're, you know, out there saying, using the same language and singing the same song so they understand
that you guys are just as much a part of this healthcare system as Access is.
Well, gosh, thank you. I'm going to speak for my committee. A couple things. I would like feedback if you feel, if Access through you thought that the organizational rules were consistent with working together. And that will go because we all committees agreed on that. So I'd like to, this is the first time I've had any formal feedback from Access, number one. Oh, that's a secondary question. The first one is, yes, I think you should put in there court order treatment. COE is going to be more difficult to capture because that can happen within 3 days. And I think I don't see an issue on that. I think COE is very mercurial, let us say. And for those, you know, it's court order evaluation. That's a quick process, can take 72 hours. So I'm not sure you need that. The third thing maybe you want to put in there now, it already is on the spreadsheet or on your is guardianship. I think that is noted and that is an accurate. It is accurate. So I don't know if you need to say that because that also should be noted and I think is a field, but I think it's also populated accurately. Do you not think so?
The guardianship is reflected in the special assistance report. So any right. SMI member with guardianship, yes. And that is also in the, you know, one of your guys' reports, but that is not actually listed in this process because it wouldn't matter if an SMI member had a guardian or not. If there was a quality of care concern, you guys have the right to review it, if that makes sense. So with or without a guardian.
Right. So you don't need to put that in there explicitly. I think it's already covered in your procedures and in the data we have. But thank you for bringing this to us before public comment. I respect that very much.
Yeah.
So going to the second question, does Access feel that our bylaws in general were reasonable?
Oh, yeah. I'm super proud of you guys. I mean, I can't speak for all of Access, but I know that it has been a huge journey for each of the committees to, you know, update those since the legislation changed. And, you know, some of you guys have had ones that were adopted. I don't know, Barb, you probably know how long ago Southern did theirs. Jack, you probably know how long ago Central did yours. So I know it was a huge undertaking, but I was just really in awe of how consistent they were across all of you. And you could really see the cross collaboration. And I think that is awesome for our members too, because, you know, if I live in Maricopa County or I live in Southern Arizona, I should have the same sort of expectation of protection from the IOCs. And so it was nice for me as someone who's been familiar with you guys in your work to see that you guys were trying to do that, you know, streamline across the state so that you were providing that same kind of oversight and that same kind of focus. So, again, can't speak for all of Access. I didn't hear anything negative from anyone else at Access that looked, but I was really proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. Dr. Potts was our director, I swear, and it was wonderful. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Well, here's what we'll go ahead and do is I will put the draft language into the next revision of AMPM 960. And then when that does go out public, I'll ask Larry and Frederica to send you all the that you take a look at that language. And if you have any suggestions for revision or change or questions, you guys can use that. You're also always welcome to just email me. In my new position as the quality manager for the Department of Healthcare Management, I will be responsible for the revisions to AMPM 960 going forward. So if that's easier for you than filling out the public comment template, you can always email Frederica, Larry, or just directly to me and copy in Larry and Frederica. And we're more than happy to get your feedback, whichever way is most comfortable for you. And Lori, I know this policy doesn't apply to Ash, but of course we'll include you on that because I know that you do interact with a lot of public that isn't just Ash. So your input is always very important to us as well.
I wish Ash reported to Access.
That's above my pay grade.
we'll fight for that, Lori, at least the ADOA, because this has really been a collaborative, as I can see, the tenor has changed dramatically, and thanks to Mr. Allen and CJ, and this is feels much more collaborative and than it has been. Thank you. Anything else, CJ? And thanks for waiting for your time.
No, that's all I had. I do need to jump off. So yeah. I'll just give anybody else, if you have any other questions, I'm going to stop sharing now. Keep in mind that the links to all of the policies that Access has that affect you guys are on the IOC website. ADOA posts those training materials that we've presented to you in the past, and those links are there. We'll be sending you out a new link to the new AMPM 961 accident. Incident death reporting that as soon as that is finalized and published, I know you guys got the link while it was out in public comment, so hopefully you'll be familiar with it when it comes out. But again, always happy to come back and help Larry and Frederica and Alex, further this partnership with you guys. So anytime you need me, just let me know.
Thanks, CJ. Thank you. Right. Alex, you have any other updates or thoughts from Access?
No, not from me. Again, I'd be happy to send that PowerPoint out, whichever way is easiest. Larry, maybe you could circulate it to this group. There's just some good resources on there as far as the COVID vaccine and what Access has done thus far. But in the interest of time, I'll leave it up to the group whether or not you would want to stick around from that, but if not, just a standing reminder that to take a peek on our public forum webpage for any of you that are interested. We do have some upcoming forums on our some waivers that we submitted, so there's some opportunity there to attend and get some really good information on what Access has coming up, and it's an opportunity also to provide some public input via that venue if you'd like. So I'll try to have either myself or have Fred bring that up whenever we meet, because we do update that pretty regularly, and those are all good forums to learn about what we have going on more generally. So that's about all the updates that I have, unless there's any. Please.
Let me ask a question. One of the issues I think we're going to look at it on site visits is that we don't want to be, we don't want one group home to say we can't visit because of COVID, another group home to say it's okay. So I'm presuming that Access will be coming up with universal policies or procedures. I would hope so. Or need to look at that possibly regarding site visits. I'm hoping that we should be permitted site visits and we should not be denied site visits because group home X says we don't want visitors while the rest of the group homes in the community say it's okay and approved. I don't know if I think it's premature at this point, but my sense is getting back to normal. Does that make sense to you? Alex,
yeah, absolutely. Actually, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that we're, really early in this process, as most of the providers and community members probably are. But I do think it's worth starting that conversation now and having those discussions about what some of that might look like as the state continues to open up further and further. So we'd be happy to take that back and have some additional dialogue with internally and with you all on that as that kind of takes shape.
Okay, and with the CDC now saying that those who are vaccinated probably don't have a likelihood of transmitting it, that may be something you got to look at too, because we could then say that site visits are only going to be limited to those who have been vaccinated, the membership that's been vaccinated, for example. I'm just throwing out some of these possible guidelines. So there's some safety involved, but I think our committees are willing to meet halfway on the safety issues, at least halfway. Thank you.
Of course.
Do we have any Mr. Allen ADOA update? Because we have another 10 minutes for this, and I think we'll be out of here in time. Any ADOA updates?
Nothing new, Jack. I'm still waiting on one more committee guideline report to come to me. And then as soon as I get that, I'm going to load that on our website for public comment, and it'll stay on our website for 30 days. Then we'll take it down, review the public comments, get that back out to the group, and then have Director Tobin sign off on the guidelines and get those posted on officially on the website. So that's I'm just about there. So I should have that done here pretty quick.
I'm confused. You said on the guidelines, the proposed guidelines. Mm-hmm. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting from us?
I'm waiting on one more committee to get me the guidelines for their IOC. So
who is
I'm
that?
Still,
because I thought the guidelines were
Ash.
Ash. I see. Gotcha.
Okay, yeah, so. they made some revisions to their guidelines at their last meeting a couple weeks ago.
Gotcha.
And they voted in. So I should have that done here. I'm waiting on Lori. She dropped. So, but I should have that hopefully today or in the next couple days.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm sorry, I didn't even think of Ash because they're not under access and not even under ADOA essentially. Are they? They don't report to
they anybody. Are.
Oh, they go through ADOA but still the state hospital. Okay, sorry. Thank you. Anything else happening with you?
No, it's been fairly quiet on my end with the access IOCs. I really don't have a whole lot of updates for the group other than just trying to get the guidelines posted and approved and signed off on. Then at that point, I can do a revision to the website, kind of revamp it a little bit, make it a little bit more user-friendly, that sort of thing. So, sure.
Any questions for Mr. Allen? Or Mr. Demian? Okay. Let me give you a legislative update. A couple of things. Lori already talked about Senate Bill 1716. I suggest all our membership should be looking at some of these on the website and see if we can sign in for them if you're interested in them. 1716 does change. Lori spoke about that one. That's what the State Hospital Governing Committee and the State Hospital has heavily lobbied against this bill, even though they're not supposed to be lobbying. Number two, there's a Senate Bill 1059. I don't know where that is, but that changes the definition of mental illness for court-ordered treatment. You may want to look at that because it sort of clarifies that substance abuse cannot be the main issue. They have to look at the underlying disorder first because there's so much folks who are coming in the court order process of Title 36 simply because they're on substance abuse, and it's taking a lot of folks feel beds away and care away from those who truly have an underlying mental disorder, not just a co-occurring disorder. So that's 1059. You may want to look that up. There's a Arizona legislative website, which is very good. You just look up Arizona legislative website, and you can put the SB in it with the health bill number in it, and it gives you what it is and the status. There are two other bills that essentially look like they're going to do away with the Psychiatric Security Review Board. It is a intense effort by the defense bar. And Senator Barto has sponsored it, but the 1039, I think it's 1029 and 1030, I believe, Senate bill, but they are it transfers it over to the back to the courts for dealing issues and gets rid of the Psychiatric Security Review Board, which the Psychiatric Society hasn't taken a stand on, but a lot of us are opposed to because it's going backwards. But anyway, so that's the legislative update. Things are coming to a quick close regarding bills, I believe. Any questions at all for me?
No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Pott.
Ms. Graham, do you have any thoughts? You've been very patient and you've been very helpful. And you did send me this stuff earlier, and I I thank you for that regarding what is disclosable, public or private information. But do you have any questions for us or any thoughts for us?
No, I don't. The only thing I was going to mention, and I don't know if Larry and I want to just put something together, but it was in regards to some of the confidentiality agreements. I still don't have all of them, so I wanted to just put out there that if folks aren't able to get into the, you know, QM portal to do reviews, it may be because there's not one on file. So we can discuss that a little bit further. And like I said, I can put something out to each chair separately just to say, you know, who has one and who's missing one. And then we can go from there. But that's all I have.
That would be very helpful. If you get it to me, I will immediately get it to my members who have not signed an agreement. I've signed many agreements, sometimes two or three a year. So, you know,
definitely have yours, Jack.
Oh, good.
So that's all for me, unless there's any questions for me.
Questions for Frederica? Next, I think this is a valuable meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Larry, for coordinating this. And let us do it again in 3 months.
Yeah, I think we have our next meeting scheduled June 30th.
Okay.
So tentatively, so if that works for that group, we can keep it then. If not, then, you know, we can certainly look for another date. You know, I chose noon as a time, but if we want to look at doing it a different time, in the evening or later afternoon or earlier more in the morning, please let me know, let the group know, and we can talk about it.
I think this works. Thanks, Chris. I know you may be signing off. Thank you very much, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thanks.
I agree. I think the more we meet, the more we learn, the more we can learn from each other.
Yeah.
It just helps break down the silos.
Especially with the support we're getting. And I thank you for coming, Mr. Dietrich. We will probably be picking your brain, since I've been working with the Center for Law for longer than you've probably been alive.
Thank you.
Anyway,
forgive me, Dr. Posse, it just dawned on me for Larry. Forgive me, this may not be the right format. You answered my question once before, but just briefly for all of us, in the upcoming months, since we'll be out hopefully in the field, any update on us getting renewed badges so we can be out in the community? That was it. I forgot to ask.
Oh,
sorry.
No. I'm sorry. That was part of my update and I got sidetracked. But yes, I'm working with our badging office to get new badges issued to the group. And they will be mailed directly to your house. So that way you don't, unless you live close to the ADOA building, you want to go directly to badging and do that yourself, you're more than welcome to do that. For most of everybody else, I'll work with them and have a badge issued out. And for the new members coming in, I'll work with them on getting a photo that I can get over to badging and have a badge issued for them. So that's not a problem. So.
Perfect. Thanks, Larry.
Larry, if you see a photo looking like George Clooney, just pretend it's not him, it is me.
Yeah.
I'll do that, Dr. Potts. Okay.
Administration pre-pandemic photo.
That's right.
I would like to nominate that. Dorothy, can you do the facilitator next time? Okay, Dot? You're on mute.
Oh, you're on mute.
Okay. And then secondly, what topics do we want? I think we should put on there site visits. Just a 10-minute discussion maybe about what we're sort of each of us look for. Okay, any other topics? We can always mail that out, email it out. Any other topics?
I always love a review of how we're doing on the portal. It's a wonderful place, but it's challenging. I got myself thrown off again, which I have to fix that.
And maybe having an update from Frederica, what is available for the training stuff on there? Because I know you and Alex and CJ have been putting a lot on there. So just to give us, and even if you just want to email us what's on there, I'll go through and look too. But the members don't realize the level of support we've been having the last year and a half, 2 years, that it's increased dramatically.
I second that.
Okay. Shall we, it's 1:20 on the dot. Shall we, we don't need a motion to adjourn, I don't think, because we're not of a committee. But I'd like to say goodbye. Thank you, Mr. Allen and Mr. Demian and Ms. Gray.
Well, thank you for taking the time, guys. Appreciate it. It's much, much appreciated.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Frederica. Always.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Hope everyone stays safe.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bye.
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 Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Fox.